Calvary. Thank you for making a way, God, for me to be saved. And we love you for it, and we thank you for it. And everybody said amen. Amen. We're glad you're here today. It feels good. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Welcome to all of you. Some of you, it's your first time back, perhaps. And every week, that's true more and more of some people that are getting out. And we're thankful to see you here. Be patient, I guess, is what I have to say. I know everybody would like to get back to normal schedules and services and normal protocols. We're just not there yet. We'll get there. But in the meantime, let's not get bogged down with that. Let's just go ahead and appreciate the fact that we're able to get here, be in the house of the Lord, and be together. Amen. That's worth praising God. That's worth praising God for. Amen. Lord, I pray you would speak to us today through your word. I pray, God, that you would help me and anoint me, God, as a pastor of this church to speak to your wonderful people. I thank you for the privilege, and I ask you, Lord, that your spirit would minister to us, and we give you all the glory and the praise. And everybody said amen. Turn around to somebody and just tell them, praise the Lord, or glad to be with you, whatever you feel like telling them. If you believe them, you can be seated. If you need convinced, stay on your feet. We'll convince you. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to make mention that if you did not get the phone call, and maybe you did, but we are beginning this Thursday, the 20th, at 6 o'clock, we're beginning some Christian development courses. These will be taught via Zoom meetings. And Brother Mike Deckard and Brother Justin Honeycutt will be sharing in that responsibility. And so you are able to watch a video that kind of explains the classes to you. You can go to our website or our Facebook page. The video is posted there of a kind of a promotional video. And then these courses, the first one deals with our salvation and how what it means that we have been saved. But we go into some good doctrinal things in these Bible studies. You really want to participate in this, especially those of you that maybe just feel like you'd like to get a better handle on some of the tenets of our faith and our doctrines. You would enjoy these classes. And so, again, if you would like to participate, go to the TPAC Ellettsville. Help me out. Is it TPAC first, right? TPACEllettsville.com. And there you can sign up. You can click or you can text me or whatever. Reach one of us and we'll tell you how to participate in that. Basically, you're going to go to our website and answer the invitation there, the invitation link. How many of you know how to do Zoom, kind of? You've figured it out during this quarantine? How many don't have a clue what Zoom is? You think it's something you do down the road? Okay, very, very simple procedure, and we can walk you through it. And so it will be a live teaching, but it will be online. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse number 13. Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We're speaking here, Paul is speaking here of those that are living versus those who are dead. And he says those that are living will not prevent them which are alive, for this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or we shall not prevent them which are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And I appreciate the fact that the Bible, that the Lord would give us in his word some instruction as to what we are looking forward to when it all wraps up. We don't have to be caught unaware. We don't know everything that's going to happen. We don't understand everything. But we do know some things. For the Bible tells us some things. And that which the Bible explains to us, we need to study. We need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to study so we know not only what's going to happen, but what do we do? What do we as the body of Christ do in these last days? So let me start there. Let me start with the fact that we are in what we would call the end times. We are there. We are seeing at an astounding rate biblical prophecies being fulfilled all around us. We understand that as the body of Christ, or we should be very aware of that as the body of Christ. Now, these things should not frighten us. These are not things to cause us to have panic attacks or anxiety attacks if you are in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is able to look at the Word of God. Folks, this is what we've been living for. This is what we've been preparing for. I've always said I'd like to be alive when the Lord returns. That'd be all right with me if I don't have to die. That'd be okay. I mean, either way, I want to be ready and I want to meet the Lord, but I'd be just fine being alive. And folks, I believe unless I just die young, I'm going to be alive when the Lord comes. Things are wrapping up. And so let me just give you what the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning. And I want to also go to Proverbs 6 here in just a moment. You don't have to turn there, but we'll bring it up on the screen and we'll be ready to go there, Proverbs 6. But the Bible speaks of what is called, we call it the confirmation of the covenant. Those of you that have been through some of the end time series with Brother Baxter, you've heard this term taught on, the confirmation of the covenant. And it refers to an agreement that will be entered into between the Jews and the Arab nations around them, that there will be a peace agreement signed, agreed to. Now, the Bible tells us some stipulations that will allow us to know when that has happened. This peace agreement that was just signed, that our president brokered and brought to these nations, this peace agreement that was just signed, it is without a doubt a precursor to that confirmation. We are headed in that direction. In fact, the Bible says that once that is in place, we're able to look in the Word of God. Daniel gives us some understanding that once that is signed, whatever that confirmation is going to be, once that happens, we know that that really does start because we can look at the timeline and we know that that begins the last 7 years. And so once that is agreed upon and signed, there's a 3.5-year period that we know in 3.5 years after that. In those years, we're going to see a temple built in Jerusalem. We're going to see sacrifices begin, taken up again, because 3.5 years in, the Antichrist is going to step in, declare himself as the Messiah, and cause the temple sacrifices to cease. And this is referred to as the abomination of desolation. And then we know begins what we call the Great Tribulation. These are times where are going to be very troubling on the earth. The Antichrist is going to come against anyone who does not bow down to him, take the mark of the beast. All of these things that we've talked about, studied, and prepared for, these are things that we are looking for. And again, Paul says, I tell you these things not so you will be nervous, not so you will lose sleep, not so you will be anxious. I tell you these things so you can comfort one another. In the midst of all of these things that we see taking place, we're not freaking out. We're encouraging one another and comforting with one another, knowing that our redemption draweth nigh. So the Bible says, when you see these things start to happen, look up. We don't look down. We're not looking down. We're not discouraged. We're not depressed. I'm excited about Jesus coming. Now, this agreement, this peace agreement, does not have all of the stipulations in it. Once we see the Palestinians come to the table, and it'll happen. The Bible says it will happen. Then we know. Now, some people say, well, the Bible says there's no man will know the day nor the hour. That's true, but we know the seasons, we know the times, and we can be ready. Now, that's not really, I'm not up here to teach on end time prophecy, but these are things we need to be very, very aware of. All of the problems that are around us, the trouble, the chaos, the disruption, these are things that are going to happen. The Bible says they are going to happen. It is, in fact, they are indicators to us that time is wrapping up. They are wake-up calls to the world that they need to be ready. And so here we are. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see riots. We see earthquakes in diverse places. Every day you turn on the news, there's some kind of big deal happening that we know is pointing us in the direction that Jesus It won't be very long until he comes. And so we need to be ready. Now, that's my main point today, is to tell us that we really need to be ready. Not just ready for the rapture, but we need to be ready. We need to be prepared to be about our Father's business. As we see things wind down, it's not for us to just go somewhere and hole up in a cave and try to hang on to our doctrine and hang on to our Bible and hang on to our faith and wait till the rapture takes place. I want to show you that in the scripture. But first I want to show you something in Proverbs 6:11. Because this is what I feel the Holy Ghost speaking to me in this hour, is that if we're not careful, a spirit of lethargy is going to take over the church. We're going to be lullabied to sleep by things. And I look around right now and think, how can anyone who knows anything about scripture not understand that things are just winding down? And then the Lord began to reveal to me how this has happened, because we do have people. I know people that have been raised in the church. They know as much Bible as I do. They know as much scripture as you do. And yet they've walked away from the Lord, and they still slumber. They still sleep. They're not making their preparation. They're not ready for the rapture. And it seems like they'll let day after day go by. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world can anyone with an understanding of scripture? Well, here's how it happens. Anybody ever heard the story of boiling frogs? It's not really a story. It's just the fact that I heard attorney David Gibbs many, many years ago. He told the story of his family or somebody having frog legs, and he was talking about how you to have frog legs, you have to go frog gigging. Anybody ever been frog gigging? You have to go out and get the frogs, and then to have frog legs, you have to have boiled frogs. If you're going to make an omelet, you got to crack eggs. If you're going to have frog legs, you got to kill some frogs. There's no pretty way about it. And so the process involves boiling frogs. So he tells the story of how he and his brother were going to help out the family. And so they got back with the frogs, and they thought they would heat up the water. And they got the water over the fire, and the water started boiling. And they were going to go ahead and help out their mama. And they begin to throw the frogs in the water, and that frog would hit the boiling water and just skip right off the top, right out of the pot. And pretty soon he said, we're chucking frogs in there, and they're hopping everywhere. And mom walks in, and there's frogs everywhere. So she said, gather the frogs. What are you doing? So they had to dump out the hot water and fill it with cool water. And you put the frogs in the cool water. And the frogs are comfortable in the cool water. Then you're going to have to pray your kids to sleep tonight after they hear this process here. But then you put the frogs, Brother Jerry. You put the frogs. Maxwell, he's sitting there like, oh, where are we going with this? You put that pot of frogs in the water. Actually, some of these kids probably think, yeah, that's cool. You put that on the fire, and then the fire begins to gradually. Everybody say gradually. That's the key. It's a gradual process. The water begins to heat up, and pretty soon you'll see little pin bubbles start to pop up from the bottom of the pot, and it'll hit one of those frogs, and the frogs will kind of reposition themselves, and you can see them kind of saying, well, it's a little hot in here, a little uncomfortable in here. And pretty soon when the pot boils, their energy has been sapped. It's been a slow process, and they try to jump, but they can't jump, and pretty soon you have boiled frogs, and pretty soon you have frog legs. The same principle is true with human nature. Things that happen to us gradually, incrementally, things that are almost unnoticeable changes, we kind of accustom to that. We acclimate to that. We adjust. And things will happen every once in a while. That sounds like Bible prophecy. Well, that seems like end time stuff. Well, that may, and you see prodigals do this all the time. Something will happen, and they realize, hey, isn't that in the Bible? I think I heard that one time. And they'll readjust. And then something else happens, and I think that maybe I need to get ready. You know, maybe I need to get back to the church. The Lord will deal with them, and they'll readjust. My fear is, and I pray this isn't true, is that so many people are going to readjust to the point where when the boiling happens, they're already sapped. And so we must recognize today that we are in the end times. And let that not happen to the church. Let us not just be accustomed to things that are going on around us. We need to be acutely aware. This is not just politics that's happening. This is not just evil versus good. That's there. But it's more than that. We are seeing end time prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes. Can you say amen? Here's what the writer said in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. It tells us to go to the ant, thou sluggard. And consider her ways and be wise. Learn from this creature, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. And so what the Lord is really saying to the sluggard is, be like the ant. Prepare now for what is to come later. And then the question is posed to the sluggard. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, just a little. It's kind of like the snooze alarm. How many ever use the snooze alarm? Anybody use one today? I usually hit mine about once or twice, and some days more than that, and I shouldn't. It's so easy to do, isn't it? We just, a little more, and that's the whole concept of snooze alarms. Just a little more sleep, just a little more slumber, and this is what the Bible is saying. Just a little more, just a little more, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, a little inactivity, just a little bit. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. In other words, he says, it will sneak up on you. If you don't work, if you don't provide, then you will be in want, is the Bible teaching here. The same is true in life of anything. Things that we should prepare for, be ready for, if we just sleep and slumber. And the Lord showed me that many people, because I was asking, Lord, how in the world, because I know people, Lord, how in the world are they not running to the church? How is that person not falling on their face before God? They know too much, and the Lord showed me they're just sleeping a little longer. Just a little more slumber, just a little more sleep, just a little more party life. Just a little bit more of hanging on to my sin. Just a little bit more of, because it's kind of like Pharaoh when the frogs were all over the land, and Moses said, well, would you like me to entreat the Lord to get the frogs out of here for you? He said, well, yeah, tomorrow. We'll live with the frogs one more night. And this is the way people are today. Well, we'll just, you know, maybe the Lord's not coming yet. The Lord's not coming yet. The Lord's not coming yet. The Lord is coming. Now, let me show you why this is so important. Go to Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Mark 4, 3. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. This is Jesus giving the parable of the different types of soil, which represent the different heart conditions of hearers. It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, fowls came and devoured it up. Some fell by stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And then he explains the parable to his disciples a little later. And particularly I want to show you verse 18, where he speaks about the thorny soil, that among the thorns. He says, these are they which are sown among thorns. Now the reason I want you to see verse 18 is because everybody under my voice right now, at least in this room, this is the highest risk category for us. Because we have already, we've received the word. The word has taken root. It has produced fruit. You are here. You are living for the Lord. You know what the Bible says. And Jesus says, these are they which are sown among the thorns. They hear the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It was fruitful, and it became unfruitful. Why? Because things that should have been watched and tended to were not. And the thorns sprang up. When thorns begin to grow, you got to wipe them out. You've got to take them out. That's why Paul said, let us lay aside every sin, or every weight, and the sin that doth so easily beset us. This walk with God is a continual process of weeding out the bad, cultivating the good. We pick and cut the weeds, and we water and treat the flowers, and we want the good to grow and the bad to die. And when we stop doing that, the bad takes over. The cares of this world, not just the cares of this world, not just the stresses of this world, but the deceitfulness of riches, money. People want money. We must have money. Everybody's panicking right now. What's the stock market going to do? What's my 401k going to do? What about my retirement? What? Everybody's worried. Everybody's looking right now. People are tuning into the news every day to see what the stock market is doing. Is it up? Is it down? Is it up? Is it down? And right now it's messing with everybody because nobody knows what it's going to do tomorrow. And so if you're all wrapped up in riches, and this is one of the tricks of the enemy, is to get our minds on riches. In these last days, now I'm not telling you not to take care of your retirement. That's foolish not to think ahead to the day. Because if Jesus does tarry, we're going to need some money to live on, right? And to continue to promote the Word of God. However, if we just get wrapped up in that and that's all we think about, we miss the entire point of the commission. The great commission of the last day is not to go earn money. The great commission in these days, in this church age, is to go ye therefore into all the earth and to teach them and to baptize them in the name of Jesus and to disciple them. He said, make disciples. It's not about your bank account. It's about disciple making. If we get wrapped up in riches, we will miss the whole point of these last days. And we are the body of Christ. We are the church of the living God. We are the ones that have been called in these last days to make an impact, to be the light. It's on us. It's on us. Now, I feel very honored to be part of this church in this day, in this time. Are you kidding me? Think of all the generations that have come and gone, and here we are living in these days where we can look. I mean, you can't hardly open the Bible and not see something in there that we're seeing fulfilled before our very eyes. And so, yes, thank God, but I want to be about my Father's business. I want to disciple people. I want to win souls in these last days. I cannot allow thorns to grow up. I cannot allow the cares of this world to grow up. I cannot allow the deceitfulness of riches to grow up in me. I cannot allow, he goes on to say, and also he says, the lusts of other things. So it's that craving of whatever. He kind of just puts an et cetera on there. All these other things that we lust after, we desire, we crave. There are things that would draw us away from being fruitful. And we cannot permit that to happen because we can become unfruitful. Did you know that Daniel, the same one that told us about all these things that I opened talking about, the confirmation and the abomination of desolation, the confirmation of the covenant, the same one that told us about these days and these weeks and these years, he also tells us in Daniel 11:32 that in these times that are coming upon us, said, and such as do wickedly, 11:32, against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They will be active. They will be powerful. So there's two categories, one of which you're going to fall into. We're either going to be corrupted by flatteries or we're going to know our God and be strong and do exploits. I tell the Lord constantly, Lord, I do not want to be ineffective in these days. I cannot be stagnant in these days. I need to know you. It's first we got to know God. In these last days, we must know God. We must know God. We must know God. I'm not talking right now about knowing your Bible. You need to know your Bible, yes. I'm not talking about knowing the people in the church. That's wonderful. We need that. I'm not talking about knowing about prayer. I'm talking about knowing your God. I mean having an intimate relationship with the Father where you talk to him every day and he speaks to you every day. And when he speaks, your spirit responds and you can hear the voice of the Lord. In these last days. And in these last days, there will be a people. I believe I'm preaching to them today that shall know their God and shall be strong and shall do exploits. And then in chapter 12, verse 10, Daniel says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, this is why it's very important for us to be very careful that we know God. Because I just told you, one of the things I'm struggling with right now is understanding how people who have known this are not responding. When we enter into wickedness, We set ourselves up to have no understanding. We can literally be living in the midst of all this Bible prophecy being fulfilled and not even have a clue. We're blinded by it. There are people right now who are more upset about sports not being played than they are about prophecy being fulfilled. They are more concerned about their restaurant being shut down. They're more concerned about the jobs and the economy. They're more concerned about the social unrest and all the chaos and the corruption and all these things. They're more concerned about the politics and liberals and conservatives and Democrats and Republicans and who's running and who's... They're more concerned about that than they are to realize that, hey, oh, wait a minute, Israel. See, you know what makes headlines? This thing about Israel and the peace agreement is barely showing up. It's just a passing news thing. And the newscasters aren't going to get on there and say, hey, by the way, this is prophecy being fulfilled. They're just going to say, this is wonderful. Our president was able to do this. Nobody else has been able to do that. Well, that's all well and good, but we better get into the Word of God and understand this is Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Now, Fox News won't tell you that. CNN won't tell you that. But a good pastor will tell you that we are in the last days. Come on, somebody. That's why you need a church. That's why you need a pastor. That's why you need a preacher in your life. That's why you need a word in your life. Amen. While I'm on that, can I just tell you that more than ever before, you need to pray for the ministry. You need to pray for the ministry. I'm not up here to whine, but I do believe in being real and transparent with you. The ministry, I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about the pulpit in general, is under great stress right now. Great persecution and burdens. We've got it fairly easy so far right now in our part of the country, in our part of the world. But I'm talking, we got brothers just a few hours away that are having to fight for their right to have church, fight for their right to sing, fight for their right to worship. And thank God, God is still on our side, and I know He will be. But nonetheless, we're all under this burden, this pressure. There's a real fight right now for us to just kind of let down and just kind of try to, you know, make it through the pandemic and make it through all these things. Well, it's not about making it through. We can have revival in the midst of this. I believe we must have revival in the midst of this. So I'm going to tell you, if you're out there and you're watching and you're thinking, what do I do? This is what you do. Don't wait till the pandemic's over. Put your mask on and get down to church and get to this altar and get in this water and let us baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you can be ready for the rapture. You can be ready. You can be caught up, because we are living in the last days. We are living in the end times. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't wait till you feel like everything's just going back to normal. We may never get back to what we call normal. So stop it with all of that. We're gonna do what we need to do to keep having church. And some people are saying, well, you know, I'm not going to go if they're doing that. I'm not going to go if they're taking... You know what? I will do whatever I have to do as a pastor to keep my doors open so that any sinner who wants to be saved can come into this building and be taught and be preached to and be reached. And if we got to wear a mask, then we'll wear a mask. If we got to social distance, we'll do that. But we're going to reach for souls until the trumpet sounds and Jesus catches the church away. And somebody ought to shout amen. Hallelujah. I want to reach. I want to know my God. I want to be strong. I want to do exploits. But the wise shall understand. So God, give us an understanding. Don't let us be lullabied to sleep. Paul goes on. We open with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When Paul is speaking to us about the rapture, praise God. But he goes on. Remember, Paul did not write in chapters and verses. The translators split things into verses and chapters for our convenience. But Paul's letter was just a letter. So he didn't stop at 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So what we call chapter 5, verse 1 says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. He says, you understand these things. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Now all this peace talk is not going to lead to peace. It will lead to sudden destruction, and it will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Oh, thank God. We, the church, are not in darkness. We, the church, do not have to be taken off guard. You are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken. They that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us. Now here's what Paul is saying. We are in the night hour. We are in the hour of darkness. But we cannot succumb to the darkness. We do not allow the darkness to dictate who we are. He says, you're in darkness, but you're not children of darkness. You are children of the day. We are not of the night, nor are we of the darkness. So don't let us sleep. They that sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Paul says we need to be sober. That means, now he's likening it here to, he's contrasting being sober, sobriety, with drunkenness. He's talking spiritually, you understand. So he says there are those who are spiritually drunken, spiritually sleeping. They're just kind of wandering through the night. They don't know. You ever see a drunk person walk? They don't know where they're going. They may never get there because they're going to go this way and that way and say, where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. And he says, we can't be drunk. They that are drunk are drunken in the night. So the tendency right now is to be drunk in this nighttime hour. We must be sober. We have our minds about us. We have our direction about us. We're not wandering around. We're walking straight, Mason. This is the last days. We're telling people. People ask us, well, what's going on? We can't say, well, I don't know what's going on. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you a little bit about the Bible. Do you believe? You ever heard of the Bible? Let me tell you. See, we live in a day, and I believe the Lord orchestrated it this way because it wasn't very many years ago. You didn't have to try to convince somebody to believe the Bible. You just told them, this is what the Bible says. Now they're like, well, so what? So now we live in a day where you're not only able to quote Scripture, you can say, oh, by the way, look at this. This has happened. Look at this. This is happening. Look at this. That's what this is. The Bible, the Lord is confirming his word. Amen. When he came the first time, prophecies were fulfilled. Prophecies were fulfilled. He did certain things just to fulfill prophecy so the people would know this was in fact the Messiah. In this second time of his coming, prophecies are being fulfilled. We are able to point to the word of God and say, look, here it is, here it is, here it is. Here's that trumpet. Here's that trumpet. Here's that trumpet. Here it is. Here's that. What just happened over there? Yeah, that's in the Bible. And no, it's not quite there, but it's heading. All we need is the Palestinians to get on board. And that's the confirmation of the covenant. Bible speaks about it. You can set your watch to it. Amen. So we're sober in the sense. That doesn't mean we have to just be so serious and so, you know, stern. Because nobody's going to be attracted to that. But it does mean we've got to know what's going on. We've got to be serious about the work of the Lord. Amen. And so while we're getting there, while we're doing this, we know who we are. We know what time it is. Oh, yes, Jesus is coming. We know what we are. We're the bride of Christ. Amen. So what's our job right now? Our job is to keep doing what we've been preaching for years. We tell people about Jesus. We tell people about Jesus. We share with them our story. Amen. Get as many as you can, folks. I believe Noah worked and preached till the very time the door was shut. And we must do the same. We're going to work and preach. We're going to work and reach. We're going to work and preach. We're going to work and reach. I'm building myself a boat, but I want to get as many on as I can. So pray like we've never prayed and reach like we've never reached. I feel like I want to close by simply asking you to pray a little bit. If you want to come to the altar, it's open. We are sterilizing, by the way. We're sterilizing the altars between services, so you're welcome to come up and pray. I want you to know that. And you can pray at your seat. But could we take just a few minutes? You can stand, you can kneel, however you feel today. But would you talk to the Lord? If anybody's here and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, I encourage you today to repent of your sins. And then I encourage you to be baptized in the name of Jesus before you leave this building today. And let the Lord fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody may be watching this live stream, and you've never repented of your sins, and you're thinking to yourself, man, what do I need to do to be ready? Well, the Bible says you must repent, to be sorry of your sins, and tell the Lord you're sorry, and to mean to turn away from those sins. And then that you must be baptized by immersion in water. When I point back here, I'm pointing not to Jerry, I'm pointing to water. Water, that we will baptize you in the name of Jesus. That's the only name that washes away your sins. And if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, call me, text me, message us, and we'll baptize you in Jesus' name. We're not waiting until pandemics are over to have revival. We're baptizing you in the name of Jesus. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you will speak in other tongues like everybody in the Bible did when you receive it. And it is for you. You can lay your head on your pillow tonight and know that if Jesus were to come, or if you were to die in your sleep, you're ready to go meet your Savior. Amen. We encourage you to do that. Can we find us a place? Let's just talk to the Lord for a little while today. I know we haven't shouted, but this is what God has had for us today. It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. Thank you, Jesus.